Good morning. It's my pleasure to call to order the Metropolitan Transportation Commission meeting for Wednesday, February 26th. I'd first like to turn to our committee secretary and confirm that we have a quorum.
We have a quorum.
Great. Thank you very much. I'd like to announce, too, that our meetings are all webcast on the MTC website, and also invite members of the public to speak at all of our meetings. And if you'd like to speak, the speaker cards are over on the table by the window. Please submit those to the secretary, and then I will call your name at the when the item comes up that members of the public have designated you'd like to speak on. I'd like to ask all speakers to identify themselves when they begin speaking. So thank you very much. And first item, I'd like to present the chair's report. First, I had the pleasure of speaking to the San Francisco Business Owners and Managers Association last week to their legislative committee. They were interested in regional transportation issues. We had a very good dialogue, including they expressed their concerns about the what happens when BART isn't operating, whether it's a strike or things that it has a huge impact on their the workers that come into their and work in their buildings, and they appreciated our work to try to deal with some of those issues. And also talked about the desire to have a little more robust carpool access to the bridge in the eastbound direction in the afternoon. So I think that they appreciated all the work that we're doing, particularly in the area of transit sustainability and the investment of the capital, the transit capital investment program that we've approved to be utilizing the high-speed rail dollars. So it was a very productive meeting. Then the next item is resolution number 4139. As you know, Congressman Miller will be retiring at the end of this congressional session. Although this does seem a bit early to be getting a resolution here in the Bay Area, we wanted to do a resolution in his honor, expressing our appreciation to be able to be presented later this month in Washington, D.C. at the annual American Public Transit Association's legislative meeting. So we brought it to you today for your approval. As you know, Congressman Miller has a 40-year career in Congress, and while he's been identified very much on environmental, labor, and educational issues, he's also been critically important and supportive of our transportation initiatives, both certainly in his district in Contra Costa County, but also in Solano, but also in the region. And I just wanted to turn to our executive director before we vote on this resolution to just offer some additional perspective, since he's had the honor of working with Congressman Miller over the years in some of the regional transportation initiatives.
Well, just briefly, Madam Chair, George Miller is quite a character for those of you who know him. And the one episode I remember the most, it's actually in one of the whereas clauses. There was a jurisdictional battle that broke out between the House Public Works Committee, which is now the House T&I Committee, and the Appropriations Committee. And at the time, Norm Mineta chaired the Public Works Committee, and a fellow Democrat, Bob Carr from Michigan, chaired the Appropriations Committee. And the way this battle surfaced is that the project earmark for the Bay Area Rail Program, which at the time was the BART extension to SFO and the Tasman Light Rail extension in Silicon Valley, they were actually a joint amount, was first in the Appropriations Committee bill, reported to the House floor, and then it was removed. So there was actually a floor fight on the floor of the House of Representatives over our rail program. And speaker after speaker came to our defense, obviously our delegation. But if you go back and look at the tape, you see Bud Schuster. All the authorizers were lining up behind Norm, and the appropriators were lining up behind Carr. And George gave the best speech of everybody because he walked up to the microphone, and the line I remember to this day, people were saying, is there a war going on between the appropriators and the authorizers? And George stands up and says, there may not be a war going on, but I'll tell you, the Bay Area Rapid Transit District has blood all over it. And it turns out our guys won the fight. The authorizers won the fight, as they usually do. And the money was restored.
That's great.
But it was a test, in a way, of our ability to hold together as a region. And later in George's speech, he talked about our agency by name and the way that we put this rail program together, and that sometimes, you know, a member gets a project in one year, but in the next year he's got to wait for the other guy, and that that's how we do business in the Bay Area. So it was a really eloquent speech, in addition to being full of fire and brimstone, which is why it was so entertaining.
Well, thank you very much, Steve. And again, I think that we're gonna miss Congressman Miller, particularly, as you know, he represents our area, and we're particularly going to miss him. But I think it shows, as you said, the importance of the Bay Area delegation and how our members of Congress may be involved in different committees, which we want them covering all the committees within the Congress. But when it comes to transportation and important priorities like transit for our region, delegation really comes together and helps us. And I know when we had the ERA program, the delegation was incredibly helpful in getting that passed and then ensuring that the Bay Area received its share of funds to provide the major capital investment, as well as pave street and road in every town in the region, as well as the large project. So with that, if I may please have a motion to adopt resolution number 4139.
So moved.
Moved by Commissioner Spearing, seconded by Commissioner Halstead. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? That passes unanimously. Thank you. And that will be presented in Washington, and we'll have an opportunity again to thank him in person for his leadership. And so our next item is, again, another exciting opportunity for us to continue our work. This is resolution number 4136. Which is the MTC ABAG Strategic Growth Council 2014 grant application. And if there are any questions, public comment, may I please have then a motion to adopt?
Second.
Moved by Commissioner Hagerty and seconded by Commissioner Tissier. Without objection, that motion stands approved. Our next item three, the Policy Advisory Council. We do not have a report of the council today, but I just wanted to thank all the commissioners and highlight the joint meeting we had last month with the commission and the advisory council. As you know, this is part of our work plan with the new council, and it was a very rewarding, productive meeting. And I'd want to thank Commissioner Spearing for conducting the discussion. I think the commissioners that participated, as well as the advisory council members, felt very encouraged and very excited about the work coming forward in the next couple of years with the council. And I particularly want to thank staff for their hard work in working with the council, putting together and the commissioners putting together a tremendous advisory council, which reflects the broad diversity of the Bay Area in many, many ways, and they're very excited about particularly the work on implementing Plan Bay Area. So with that, then, I'd like to turn to the Executive Director for his report.
Madam Chair, Commissioners, good morning again. I know I've been a little chatty already, but you've got a report here from me that's pretty fat, because we've had quite a number of developments over the last month that I did want to bring to your attention. Just first of all, quickly on personnel, one promotion, Jessica Lynn in Brian Mayhew's section has been promoted, and one that's not noted here but I have notified you about, and that is the fact that I have appointed Alex Bockelman to be the next Deputy Executive Director for Policy. Now that I've finally been able to shove Ann out of here after 30 years of trying. So I think this transition is going to be a very smooth one, unlike the Bay Bridge, perhaps. But I look forward to working with Alex in that new capacity, and we still have several weeks to give Ann trouble and to say goodbye as she heads toward her departure date in April. In terms of events, The first one is the Air Resources Board, which, as you know, is the agency responsible for setting the targets that we were trying to shoot for in Plan Bay Area, the greenhouse gas emission reduction targets. They also have the authority under the law to change those targets. The law sort of suggests to them that they should do it every 8 years. So in other words, let us do two plans and then consider whether to change. They are getting some pressure from especially environmental advocates, especially related to the Central Valley, I might say, to change the targets now that the first cycle of plans have been approved. So I will just ask you to stay advised and stay tuned about that one. We don't have any definitive word from the Air Resources Board about whether they will or they won't. But we certainly made the pitch that it would be good to have some stability for a couple of cycles and try to get the roots, the root structure grown on the first plan we've done before we start changing the targets. I mentioned already the Senate Transportation Committee hearing on the Bay Bridge. I think that series of hearings is probably concluded, but there is still another independent review, by my count, the 14th independent review of the Bay Bridge, which the legislature has commissioned from the Ledge Analyst Office. So that will probably be released later this year. So another one to stay tuned to. Another one I wanted to bring to your attention, this is still early days on it, but as I think you know, we've done a couple of different studies over the years about how to continue the bike path that we now have built on the east span onto the west span of the Bay Bridge and all the way to San Francisco. It's a very difficult challenge because we're not replacing the west span. We're leaving it alone. We've already retrofitted it. And it's got very limited geography. And up till now, the concept we've been considering is a two-path alternative where you would hang paths off the outer edge of the deck of the west span of the bridge. Very costly, obviously fairly disruptive to the look of the span as well. And basically, I think what we've done is by agreeing to abide by all the various rules that exist, all the federal rules and regulations, the clearance requirements from the Coast Guard, everybody else, we've sort of priced ourselves out of the market because what we have is a project that will cost probably at least $600 million or more. And so the purpose of the brainstorming session we sponsored with Caltrans is there a cheaper way to do this so that we could try to take advantage of, for example, some of the existing ramps that both lead to the bridge on the island and lead from the bridge in San Francisco. Instead of building elevators and all kinds of other loop-de-loops to comply with various regulations. So we uncovered some, I think, promising ideas. We've got nothing definitive on this, but I think we've got enough promising ideas in mind that we're going to pursue them and see whether we can come in with something that costs quite a bit less than several hundred million dollars. It's not going to cost nothing, but we would like to have some kind of project that could take advantage of a funding opportunity that might come by in the near term. Turning the page, two important reports released in Sacramento by the California State Transportation Agency, whose secretary is Brian Kelly. The first is the independent management review of Caltrans. And if you have not read it, I encourage you to do so. I've included the press release so you can track it down. And I think the important thing now is to see what the department and the agency will do with that report. It includes almost 50 recommendations, and my hope is that they could perhaps focus on a few of them that are the most significant and proceed from there. The other report that was released just a few days after the first one is the interim report from something called the California Transportation Infrastructure Priorities Working Group, which again was convened by that agency and is looking at the question of reforming how we deliver projects in California as well as how we can find new revenue to deliver the projects we want to build. I encourage you to take a look at that report. It is interim. It doesn't really come to grips with the ultimate question, which is We've got a repair program for the state highway system that is slowly swallowing up the expansion program. And if we want to keep doing both, we're going to need more money. More on that to come as well. We also wanted to advise you that we have submitted, and it's actually been accepted, an amicus brief in the high-speed rail litigation. This is something we worked with Caltrain, VTA, and San Francisco with, and this, again, is the appeal of the Superior Court action with the State Court of Appeal. And there is a lot of back and forth going on right now. The state, just so you're aware of this, has an obligation to come up with some matching funds by April of this year for the federal money that has already been expended. And with the judge's order saying you can't use bond money, the fallback plan, as you know, has been cap and trade. But the cap and trade money is in the state budget. So unless it is advanced sooner than the state budget is typically enacted, the federal government could find the High-Speed Rail Authority in default of its obligations. And the remedy for that, under their cooperative agreement, is that the federal government can withhold other grant funds from the state of California, starting first with the Federal Railroad Administration. If that's not enough, they can go then to the state, the USDOT, so that means highway money, transit money. And if that's not enough, they can hit anything else they want, education, you name it. So it's a very serious matter if we can't figure out how to free up the funds that have been approved by the voters, the bond money, or to come up with a fallback funding source in cap and trade or some other way. I'll mention at the bottom of that page an also very significant development that I'm not sure will turn out to be much change because the proposal has generated a lot of opposition already. But given its source, I think we need to treat it very seriously, and that is Senator Steinberg, the pro tem of the state Senate, released a proposal a few days ago to essentially replace the transportation portion of cap and trade with a carbon tax. And I think he makes a fairly persuasive case that a carbon tax would be much more straightforward, much more predictable, not as subject to the vagaries of the auction market, which is what cap and trade is. And his proposal in terms of spending the revenue is also significantly different than what's in the governor's budget. He proposes to spend 75% of the revenue on income tax credits, sort of like the earned income tax credit at the federal level, for lower-income Californians, and the remaining 25% on public transit. And depending upon which public transit formula you use, that could either be more money for the Bay Area or less. It could be quite a bit more, depending upon the formula you use. But already the proposal has received quite a bit of negative commentary from Republicans. It's received quite a lot of negative commentary from environmental organizations who worry that once you take one piece out of the cap-and-trade scheme, that the whole thing might collapse. So in any event, it's a very provocative proposal. I would encourage you to read it. I've included it in the packet. But whether it turns into law, I think, especially in an election year, is a pretty daunting challenge. I'll mention just on the last page quite quickly now, we are no longer publishing a annual report in paper. We're doing it on the web. So if you want to see our annual report for last year, dial it up on the website, and it's there in all its glory. And finally, let me comment on the map of the month. I sometimes don't, but this one is worth commenting on. I think you're all familiar with the work BCDC has done about sea level rise, and you've seen those maps that show the water inundating San Francisco Airport and so on and so forth. I didn't realize, maybe most people did, but I didn't, that phenomenon is a consequence of two things. Mm-hmm. The first is that the seas are rising because of climate change. The second is the seashore in the Bay Area and in most of California is falling. Now, if you look at the map, that notch you see is Cape Mendocino. The map is a map of the western U.S. Yeah. North of that cape, actually, the phenomenon is in the reverse. The seashore is rising. And so that has a tendency to mitigate the effects of climate change. But it's just our luck that we live south of Cape Mendocino. And so in our case, it aggravates the fact that sea level is rising already. So the gosh darn San Andreas Fault is bad for a number of reasons, and now you have one more. And I just thought that was interesting to point out. And I think I'll conclude on that happy note.
Thank you. Thank you for that happy note. You know, in Oregon, having waterfront property would always raise property values, but I'm not sure we want to go quite that far. Thank you very much, Steve. I just wanted to know if there are any commissioners that have any questions. Commissioner McKenzie.
Yeah, it's starting to make the state of Jefferson look quite appealing.
Thank you. Okay, any other questions? Thank you very much again. Thanks, Steve, for that thorough report. And I'd like to now turn to, Commissioner Sartipi.
I just wanted to make a note on Steve's report with respect to the SSTI, the Smart State Transportation Institute, and what the department is doing with respect to that. I, too, encourage everyone to actually read that report. And with respect to its recommendation, which is about 10, and then the sub-recommendations adds up to a total of 46. They interviewed over 100 people in order to do that, and about 40 of them were actually from the department, both management and others. And we're hitting the ground running on that, given that we're coming off of an internal program review that we were doing already. And there were similar recommendations with respect to that and some of the actions that we're already taking with that. We're fully engaged with the agency on this, and we're going to be moving forward quickly, both on the short-term and long-term recommendation that is coming out of that report.
Great. Thank you, Bijan. Are there any commissioner comments for the meeting today? Okay. With that, then, first item is the moving on to item 6, the consent calendar. Moved. May I have a motion? Moved approval by, who was that? Who moved it? Oh, yes, Commissioner Haggerty. Seconded by Commissioner McKenzie. Without objection, the consent calendar is approved. Our next item, we'll move on to committee reports. I'd like to first turn to Commissioner Tissier for the report of the Administration Committee.
Thank you, Madam Chair. The Administration Committee met on February 12, 2014, and referred the following item to the Commission for its approval: MTC Resolution Number 4131, which updates MTC's authority to invest in the Local Agency Investment Fund. This resolution includes funds administered for the MTC Service Authority for Freeways and Expressways, the Bay Area Toll Authority, Regional Administrative Facility Corporation, Bay Area Infrastructure Financing Authority, and the Bay Area Headquarters Authority as delegated to MTC. I move approval of MTC Resolution Number 4131.
All right. Second. Thank you. It's moved by Commissioner Tissier, seconded by Commissioner Cortese. Is there any public comment? I have no speaker cards. Any commissioner comments? Therefore, then with that, we will consider that motion adopted without objection. Our next item 8, moving on to the Programs and Allocation Committee, and if I may, please turn to the Vice Chair, Commissioner Campos, for that report.
Thank you, Madam Chair. The Programming and Allocations Committee met on February 12, 2014, and there are two items for the Commission's consideration today. The first item is MTC Resolution Numbers 4098 Revise and 4086 Revise, which programs $760,000 in Regional Measure 2 operating funds to the Bay Area Rapid Transit District and $1.2 million of BART's state transit assistance revenue to various operators for costs incurred as a result of the recent BART strikes. So I hereby move approval of MTC Resolution Numbers 4098 Revised and 4086 Revised.
Thank you very much. May I please have a second?
Second.
Seconded by Commissioner Spearing. Any further discussion? Is there any public comment on this item? Oh, yes. Yes,
you,
Commissioner Liccardo.
Thank you. Steve, just a quick question about the STA projections. I understand the governor's proposed budget estimates a 5% reduction. I just want to confirm, we've been seeing those revenues above expectations for the last year, year and a half. Is this a reduction that reflects an actual funding shift, or is this simply a conservative estimate?
I think it reflects the fact that fuel prices are falling.
Okay.
And so it's driven largely by that. Every year as well, they also adjust the distribution of the money based upon the formula. And the formula rewards places with more transit riders. So as folks, you know, so we're in a little bit of a competition with L.A. on if they gain more riders than we do in a given year, they'll get a little bit more of this fund source and vice versa.
But fundamentally, it's about diesel prices.
That's correct. And I also probably should have mentioned it in my report. If you all remember that gas tax swap we did a few years ago in Sacramento, where we basically swapped the sales tax on fuel for a higher excise tax, a gallon per gallon tax. That came with a provision that said that every year the Board of Equalization had to adjust the excise tax rate to make sure it generated the amount of revenue that a sales tax on fuel would have generated in like an alternate universe. And for the last couple of years, that has meant they have actually increased the rate of the excise tax just by a vote of that five-member board. Last year it was 3 cents. Well, sauce for the goose is sauce for the gander. This year they just reduced it by 3 cents because fuel prices are falling, and so the amount that the sales tax would have generated is less. So you can see that the excise tax is actually the base revenue source we have is going to be swinging under this sales tax, fuel tax swap for as long as that remains the way we set the rate.
Thank you.
Okay. Yes, Commissioner Cortese?
I'm not clear of the overall significance of the action itself, but it memorializes the reallocation of dollars for the BART bus bridge reimbursement, which I voted against at the time. And I just, you want to put that on the record or... In fact, it would probably be better if I just abstain from this vote so I'm not memorializing an action that I voted against. So I'm going to abstain if that doesn't create a quorum problem.
Okay. All right. Thank you. Is there any further discussion? With that, then, all in favor of adopting the motion?
Aye.
All in favor? Opposed? Abstention? One abstention. Great. Thank you very much. Great.
Thank you, Madam Chair. The second item is MTC Resolution Number 4132, which approves the fiscal year 2014-15 fund estimate, including the distribution and apportionment of Transportation and Development Act, State Transit Assistance, Assembly Bill 1107, Sales Tax, and Transit-related bridge toll funds. So I hereby move approval of MTC Resolution Number 4133.
Thank you. Is there a second?
Second
by Commissioner Tissier. And any further discussion? Any public comment? All right. With that, without objection, resolution number 4133 stands adopted. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you. Now moving on to item 9, the Legislation Committee. I'd like to turn to the chair, Commissioner Hegarty. You're on.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Legislation Committee met on February 14th. And referred one item to the Commission, AB 1193 Ting, Bikeways Minimum Safety Design Criteria. AB 1193 Ting establishes a new classification, Class 4 bikeways, also known as protected bikeways, cycle tracks, and separated bikeways, and requires the California Department of Transportation, fondly known as Caltrans, to develop safety design standards for such facilities. I move support of AB 1193 Ting.
Thank you. And that moved and seconded by Commissioner Tissier. Is there any commissioner comment, any public comment on this item? Therefore, without objection, resolution AB 1139 support is approved. The motion's approved. Right now, we will.
You said 39. It's 93.
I'm sorry. I flipped it. Sorry.
It's all right.
Yeah. Motion Sands approved. That's for AB 1193. Thank you. We will now move into a closed session, a conference with legal counsel regarding existing litigation. The commission will meet in closed session pursuant to Government Code Section 54956.9A and Paragraph 1 of Subdivision D of the Government Code Section 54956.9 to confer with counsel regarding the following litigation: Bay Area Citizens versus Association of Bay Area Governments and Metropolitan Transportation Commission et al., Alameda County Superior Court Case Number RG13690631. Thank you. I'd like to reconvene, come back out of closed session into open session, the meeting of the Metropolitan Transportation Commission. First, I'd like to turn to our general counsel for a report on the closed session.
Thank you, Madam Chair. The commission met in closed session to discuss existing litigation as set forth in the agenda for today's meeting, and there was no reportable action taken.
Thank you very much. Finally, is there any public comment, members of the public that would like to comment before this board today? With that, seeing no public comment, I'd now like to adjourn our meeting to our next commission meeting, which will be on Wednesday, March 26, 2014. Thank you very much. Meeting is adjourned.